Blog Talk Radio.
He was up each morning with the dawn, because he knew his daily run was long and hard, and he had to be ready to get his freight train down the track. Determination he would never lack. The little locomotive called Freight Train Freddy. Everybody was.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Getting On Top. I'm your host, Paul Morris, and we're here Wednesdays from 4 to 4:30 p.m., broadcasting from the Southern Hudson Valley region of New York State. You out-of-towners, that's just the northern suburbs of New York City, my hometown. And if you would like to call in for a question or a comment for me and my guest, you could dial 1-347-215-9456. That little ditty was Freight Train Freddy from the book of the same name. It's a rhyming children's story about a 19th century steam engine and its daily run. You could check out the pictures and some of the verse, the beautiful pictures by Peter Tazone. Peter also wrote and sang that song. And you can get the e-book version for $2.99 for the iPad or Kindle. The iPad also has a song included, same price. Just go to ftfcreations.com. FTF is in Freight Train Freddy Creations.com, and you can check that out. You could also buy the soft cover version there as well. I have another native New Yorker with us today, Penny Cohn, who's been here a number of times. And we're going to talk about who am I, why people, most people at least, are not comfortable being themselves. Penny Cohn is a transformational psychotherapist, relationship counselor, and the author of Personal Kabbalah, 32 Paths to Inner Peace and Life Purpose. You can find out more about Penny at www.pennycohen.com. P-E-N-N-Y-C-O-H-E-N. Today we're going to talk about how influenced were you by your parents and other significant people in your life. Are you actually being yourself, or are you trying to be someone else? Why would a person want to be someone other than themselves? It happens much more often than you think, and how can you tell when this is true about someone else or even about yourself? You know, we do lie to ourselves, right, Penny? Sometimes.
We lie to ourselves, to other people, yes. All the time.
Even if we don't want to. Even if we think we're not.
Even if we don't want to, and even if we aren't aware of it.
Right. Good topic for another time. but, you know, it's part of it. You know, we do. We're all imperfect. That's why we're here. And, you know, we do our best to be honest with ourselves and others, but it's something to strive for. So who are we? Why are people not comfortable being themselves? What do you think about that, Penny?
Well, first I would like to give a quote that I will also end with, only add to it. Where
sure.
Pierre Teilhard de Chardin, a French Jesuit priest, said, "We are not human beings having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a human experience." And the human experience is whatever is going on in our lives. And the reason why we aren't ourselves is that if we're 100% honest, very often we think people around us won't love us.
Hmm.
In other words,
why would they think that?
Well,
why might they
think, okay, because we have an ego. And an ego, an unhealthy ego, is an accumulation of memories and vows from past lives, ancestral lineage, including parents' messages and conditioning, and racial, cultural, political, and societal influences. And it includes the thoughts, feelings, and beliefs in this life that we not only formulated about ourselves and the decisions we made on how to live life based on how we were treated and the way we behaved in order to get attention. In other words, we're afraid people won't give us attention unless we give them what we think they want.
Or they may give us the type of attention we don't want.
Exactly.
By thinking we're wrong or not adequate. And so in order to try to be more adequate, we may impersonate others who we think are more worthy than us. As you said, it comes from not being comfortable with who we are, which is very, you know, often the case with most people. By the way, just to remind you, Penny, and our listeners, we did a program called Why We Lie, one of the better programs,
right.
I might say, over the 7 years. Remember that about the book?
That's
Why
right.
We
it's
Lie?
The same concept. Absolutely.
Exactly. That's why I bring it up. And just as you said, in fact, when you mentioned that quote, were spirits having a physical experience, you know, why we lie has a lot to do with...
Spiritual beings having a human experience.
Okay. Spiritual beings having a human experience. That fact that we go into it, if someone wants to go into the archives and listen to the show, I think it's very worthwhile. And also check the book out. Very interesting question. That, you know, on the other side, we're perfect, basically. But here, we're anything but. So perhaps we're just trying
we're
to...
Well, we're still perfect, Paul, until
we tell ourselves lies
of not being good enough, smart enough, good-looking enough, intelligent enough. Enough of enough, okay?
Well,
the way I see it working is that we come out of a nice, warm, watery womb. Use your imagination a little bit. And we come into a room that may have more noise than what we're accustomed to in the womb. There might be brighter lights. There might be a cooler temperature. And the doctor may even smack us to get us to breathe. What sense do we get out of life?
Mm-hmm. Well, sure. I didn't mean to say...
Life is scary life is mean, but let me finish for a minute. I'll just do two or three.
Okay, it was a...
But now we're... No, well, what we get out of life is generally life is scary, life is a pain... Okay, and then we're 6 months old crying for nourishment and mom's on the phone and doesn't hear us. So the question would be, what sense do we get out of our caretakers? Nobody's around to take care of me. What belief do we formulate about ourselves? I must not be important. These are the beginning of the lies that we tell ourselves. What decision do I make about how I live my life? I better be strong and do everything on my own, or I better be weak and get everybody to help me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then it goes on and on. Age 12, you flunk a test, and the teacher says, if you studied, you would have done better, and you say, but I did study. What do you think about yourself? I'm a failure. Okay? These are the lies we tell ourselves that literally rule us, but they're not who we are. Who we are is a soul inside before the illusions we tell ourselves, which means we are love and we are wisdom. That's who we are.
So
until we tell ourselves these lies.
Okay, so the problem is the perception of not, when I was talking
about
not being perfect.
It's more the perception. Right.
It's a perception, of course. Well, that's what it is. We all, our perception is our reality. You know, it's interesting, though, thinking of life, just thinking about this recently, thinking of life as the life school where we come to learn things, that these negative thoughts and feelings that we get from growing up, perhaps taken from another lifetime. But let's just concentrate on the ones we pick up here. I believe are there because we probably planned them so that these things would bother us, so that we would try to overcome them, and that would be our challenges in life. So, you know, not to feel so bad that, you know, we've all had our own challenges, different, you know, everyone different from others, but to say, well, this is the challenge I've perhaps given myself when I plan my life, and therefore I should have the courage to try to overcome it and see how I feel and how things are when I do. It's scary, but it's worth it. It may take a lot of effort, but it's worth it because, you know, if you believe that, that's why we're here, then it makes sense. So let's go the other way and say, well, you know, if we're uncomfortable being ourselves and we try to be someone else or act like some image or some model of a person, an individual that we want to be to feel good, you know, how would it be if we were ourselves? By the way, someone pops in my head, Cary Grant, right? Now, if anyone watches movies at all, you have to say Cary Grant was like the greatest, you know. I think he was rated number 2, greatest, you know, best actor, his persona and everything, right? You can't get more perfect than Cary Grant. Wouldn't you agree?
I don't know Cary Grant. I don't know him personally.
You don't know? You never saw Cary Grant on the screen? Well, anyway,
I have seen
very
him on
handsome.
The screen as an actor, though.
Well, that's just what
you
I'm
see,
talking
I
about.
I don't know
bear
how
with
authentic he is
no, no,
in
no,
person.
No, no, no.
I mean,
wait, wait.
Because I
no, no.
Bring
bear
up,
with me. Hold on. Bear with me for a second, okay? As a persona, I understand what you're saying. I'm getting that to a second for a second. I'm going to get that to that in a second. As a persona, he was like, you know, as good as it can get, I would think. As a physical specimen, wonderful voice, good actor, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
he appeared
someone,
to be that, yeah.
Yes, well, that's the point. Yes, exactly. So people saw him as that, as this, you know, almost perfect man. And someone said to him once, actually happened, gee, I'd love to be, you know, Cary Grant. I'd love to be you. I'd love to be Cary Grant. He turned to them and said, so would I.
There you go. I mean, if you want
that's
to bring
that's where
up
I was
actors,
going with this. So he
you
was
know,
known
you
to have, you know,
actors,
he had a tough
we've got
upbringing.
Robin Williams.
Well, sure. Yeah, but, well, yes, I understand. But Robin Williams wasn't Cary Grant. I mean, Cary Grant was the epitome of cool sophistication, you know, this, that, you know, handsome and everything else. But he didn't, inside, he was somebody else. But he you know, he wasn't himself. He was somebody else. He was this ideal that he created, you know, to be on the screen. But he wasn't really, he didn't feel comfortable. Anyway, the point is it's prevalent. It's not unusual. People shouldn't feel bad about it. You know, we all done that. I've done that early in my life. I've, thank God, changed a lot. Came out of my shell, so to speak. But I worked on it a lot, a great deal. So what happens? What happens when we're ourselves? You know,
well,
I mean, is it going to be a catastrophe?
Really when we're really ourselves, our thoughts, feelings, speech, attitudes, and actions are all in sync. We don't say one thing and do another, or think something and say another. They're all in sync.
Mm-hmm.
And when we're in sync, we're in alignment with the flow or higher consciousness or our higher self, whatever you want to call it. And when we're in that state, could be being in a state of equanimity and alignment, that's when we flow with life. We follow our intuition. Life goes much smoother. We live it with more ease and joy when you're truly yourself.
Yes. Tony Robbins called it being congruent. In other words,
okay,
you're outside and you're inside are the same. And then, you know, you can't, pretty hard to poke holes in that. You know, there you are.
Right.
You know, but, you know, it's difficult. It's challenging. But, you know, I mean, people tell white lies just to be polite. And there's nothing wrong with that. We don't want to hurt people's
feelings.
Well,
I don't agree with that.
I believe we
can be honest, but not brutally honest. I mean, a woman comes home in a new outfit and it's much too tight on her. And she loves it. And you ask, well, what do you think? And the normal thing would be, oh, it's great. But the reality is if it's too tight on her, people may make fun. People may make comments. And you're doing a disservice by not being honest.
Clearly your husband never did that with you, obviously.
You better do it all the time, right?
Anyway.
Actually, he came in and today I'm wearing like a bright orange shirt and blue with bright orange flowers on it. And he says, wow, you look lively. I said, you mean I don't look good?
Oh, lively is good. What's wrong with
it? Lively is good, but it's not his normal comment that you look really nice today.
Right. So, okay.
We do want compliments. We do want people to tell us we look good. But the reality is if we're not honest, we're in a way doing a disservice.
And
not only that, I believe very strongly in the power of words and what we say. Mm-hmm. And when we're dishonest, we actually cut ourselves off from the higher states of consciousness.
Well, I understand
it's
that,
when
but
we're
it's,
in
it,
truth
it's tough
that we stay connected.
I understand. Well, that's most important, I think, when we communicate with ourselves. But, you know, it's tough. It's tough sometimes to go down that, you know, to walk that path. I mean, we try our best. So let me ask the question, as long as I mentioned it here, how do we tell this is true about another person? How can we tell when someone else is not being themselves? Do you have an idea about that?
Well,
other
people, I don't think we have to concern ourselves with other people as much as concerning ourselves with our reaction to them. If they're not being themselves, we'll pick up some kind of emotional charge. We'll sense something not being right.
Contradiction.
In other words, it could be a miscommunication of saying one thing and doing another.
Yeah,
we sense that they're not congruent, as you said, Tony Robbins uses. They may smirk while they're saying, I love you. And you get a sense that they're not being honest. Body language, facial expressions. Sometimes just energy-wise, we pick up a sense of miscommunication, a mixed message, they might call it.
Yes.
Where we get mixed messages from people. That's how we can discern whether somebody else is being honest or not, also through intuition. Now, the bigger piece is, how do we know when we're in our truth? And this is something I was actually thinking about with several of my clients. I do relationship, a lot of relationship counseling. And when we work on communication, people will come in, like I had one client came in, and I think a lot of people can relate to this. My truth is that he's on the computer the minute he gets home, and then he's on his iPhone all night long, and he doesn't pay attention to me. And that's my truth. And I'll usually be very curt and say, no, that isn't your truth. And they'll really get upset with me. That is my truth. How can you tell me what's not my truth?
And that's a woman talking, I imagine.
Yeah.
Okay. Now,
and then I'll usually explain our truth is what's going on within us, not what they're doing wrong. Meaning that how do you feel as a result of him being on the computer all night long and then on the iPhone?
The other question is, why is he doing that? You know, maybe
it doesn't matter why he's doing it.
Well, I mean,
it's
in the sense
not
that perhaps
communicating from truth, meaning the way she could communicate to him if she is in her truth is when you sit up, when you go to the computer immediately, what goes on for me is I begin to feel lonely. I feel rejected and then lonely. And sometimes I get scared that you're not happy here. That's truth, as opposed to
my truth.
You're on the computer.
Maybe someone's happy. The guy went.
What I'm saying is, it has nothing to do with him. Your truth is what you're experiencing and feeling, not what he's doing wrong.
Right.
It's your reaction to what he's doing. Is your truth. You're feeling sad, you're feeling fear, whatever the feeling might be. And if you express it that way as opposed to you're always at the computer and then we make up the lies, you don't care about me, you're only interested in yourself, you don't want to spend time with me.
Mm-hmm.
She's saying everything about him. She doesn't know where he's coming from. But she does know where she's coming from if she would delve inside. What am I feeling as a result of him going to the computer? And if you express it that way, when you're in your truth, there's a better chance of him hearing it.
Yeah, but it's scary, to be honest, oftentimes. You know, people are hiding something about themselves. So they don't want to get into that deeply. I want to just make sure we stay on the topic. I know sometimes we can get a little into the weeds with
but
it.
But the question was, how do we know whether we're in our truth? And I'm trying to point out that it's
when we give
our reaction to what's going on.
Okay.
Not what's going wrong with them, or not what they're doing wrong. So it's, again, our thought, feeling, speech, and actions in sync, and what's going on for us.
Okay.
And that's when you can get a better reaction. Now, who am I? Okay. This is where we can say, oh, I'm a daughter, I'm a mother, I'm a sister, I'm a wife. Okay, that's who you are physically. Who am I? And I go back to that we are souls, and part of our souls are embodied lifetime after lifetime. And the big goal is to open to more and more of our souls, to feel more love, to feel more wisdom, to feel the goodness within ourselves.
Mm. Well, one of the other ways to find out about a person, you know, whether how you know, straightforward they are, how much of what you see is what you get, is to go through a crisis. And I always tell people, mostly younger people, but it could be anyone who's, you know, contemplating any kind of relationship, business or personal or emotional relationship, that you have to really go through at least one crisis with that individual, because that brings out the honesty in people. When you go through a crisis, you usually find out what someone's really about, and it's very hard to hide that, the truths about yourself when, you know, when something is going on. And even the Bible talks about it. You get the truth from people under three circumstances: when they're drunk, when they're angry, or when it relates to money. And, you know, when something happens that's a crisis, then people often will show their true colors. And that's another way to find out about people.
Even that term, show their true colors, is in a way an oxymoron, because what we think we are and who we really are usually two different things.
Yeah, but what we show we are. I mean, that's what's going on inside of us.
No,
you know,
that's who we are, our persona. What we show is our persona, who we think we are, not who we really are.
We could go back, you know, but we're talking about the reality of the of this world. In the context of the reality of this world, that's who we are. You know, we may be able to get to another point within ourselves, but for, you know, for all intents and purposes, for practicality, you know, that's what it is. That's what we are.
Well, see, I see it differently, because if we can accept that the way we behave, if it's emotionally charged, then we're coming from our persona or our ego. As opposed to when we're in a state of openness and love, and it doesn't mean being a goody two-shoes all the time. It can mean setting boundaries. It can mean saying no. That's when we're coming from the truth of who we are, that spiritual essence of ourselves.
Yeah, but that's a perfect world. And almost no one
I think
perfect.
That's the goal. That's what we're here for, to learn how to open to more of our soul, to be in that place of lightness, love, and goodness.
Mm-hmm. That's what we're striving for.
Right. Right.
Okay. No, you know, what most people, you know, don't understand the perfections as well as you do. This is what you do. But, you know, for the people listening, you know, from their standpoint, you know, what you see in a person in certain such circumstances is, for all intents and purposes, who they are. You know, it may not be their perfect being, but it is their being, you know, at the moment, and the one, you know, they're gonna be experiencing. Okay, we're getting close to the end.
You know what? I would love to just add on one real quick thing to that quote by Pierre Taillefer. We are not human beings having a spiritual experience. We're spiritual beings having a human experience. And I add, the ultimate is being spiritual beings in human bodies having divine experiences. Because our real goal is to bring the spiritual down to earth.
Okay, if we could do that, that's wonderful. So, my summary here is that, as hard as it is, as challenging it is, as scary as it is worth being yourself as much as possible. I've come that journey myself, so I know how afraid and un, uncomfortable I was, who I was many years ago when I was younger, but gaining strength, you know, and getting more comfortable with exactly who I believe I am, or certainly much closer than I was, and it feels great. You know, it's much easier. You don't have to be on guard, you know, and, people respond in a positive way for the most part. So it's a worthwhile journey. It's a worthwhile effort. And I think it is part of our journey and learning experience on Earth. I think that's part of it because, you know, how can the end game not be being yourself, you know? I mean, we are who we are, so
well,
we might as well get to it.
Right.
And, yeah,
right.
Well, it's what you're saying. It's pretty much the same thing. If you're saying we should be that wonderful, perfect spirit, so being as much of who you really are here as well as on the other side is basically the goal. And that's pretty much what we're talking about, isn't it?
Right. Right.
Okay. Good. Woo. I got one. Right. Okay. I think I'm going to quit while I'm ahead here.
I think you have to quit while you're ahead. We're going beyond.
Okay. Very good. So thank you, Penny Cohen.
Thank you,
Paul. My
guest.
And hope you enjoy the rest of the summer. And thank you, listeners, for listening in. And we're here Wednesdays from 4 to 4 p.m. Just to identify ourselves, you're listening to Getting on Top. I'm your host, Paul Morris. We're on Blog Talk Radio. We have Wednesdays from 4 to 4:30 p.m. And my guest today is Penny Cohen, who is a licensed clinical social worker. Check her out and find her website at www.pennycohen.com. So goodbye for now, and I'm going to play all of Freight Train Freddy by Peter Tazone. Bye now.
Bye.
He was up each morning with the dawn because he knew his daily run was long and hard, and he had to be ready. Get his freight train down the track, determination he would never lack. The little locomotive called Freight Train Freddy. Everybody was his friend, and they all helped him to the end to keep those freight cars rolling along steady. He never knew what to expect and was very careful.